Hello, this is James Madig speaking. You're listening to another podcast from the Blogging Secrets series. Blogging Secrets is brought to you by WPBlogSupport.com, where you can get live, unlimited WordPress support available 24/7, small jobs, tweaks, fixes, and maintenance done to your WordPress blog. Visit www.wpblogsupport.com for more details. Hello and welcome again. This is James Madig speaking from WP Blog Support. We're doing another interview about blogging, WordPress, all things marketing. And I'm really, really pleased today because I have a marketer on the line with me that we're going to chat with in a second who has been there, done that. And in fact, a 30-year anniversary just happened in August, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm on the line here with Robert Middleton. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today, Robert.
I'm glad to do it, James.
Yeah, like I know I started in 1996 with my first website, and I know ever since those days, you were writing e-zines, and you're one of those go-to e-zines when it comes to marketing. Maybe for some of the younger bloggers, can you give like a little sort of snapshot of how you got started and some of the stuff that you've been doing over the last 30 years? But it's almost 20 years now online, I think.
Yeah. It is. Well, 18 years, I guess. So I guess soon after I started my email newsletter, I got this concept and I read some information about writing an email newsletter. It actually was one of my clients. He started and I said, that sounds like a good idea. I'll do it. And I started to do it weekly. And I've pretty much doing it weekly that whole time. So every week I come up with an article of anywhere from 750 to 1,000 words, give or take. And then a few years after that, when blogging started to become popular, I decided to take the e-zine and put it on the blog. So instead of writing separate blog articles, the e-zine and the blog are the same. And, you know, I think an important thing about this is, if you're just blogging, you should also consider an e-zine and maybe consider your main blog of the week, your e-zine. It's a little harder if you're just writing 3 or 4 paragraph blogs to send those along in email. I mean, some people will subscribe to your RSS feed and they'll be getting through email anyway. But I just found having control of that e-list and sending it to people's mailboxes is what got me the most marketing impact. And I think that's something you really have to consider. If you've got a blog that you're posting on a regular basis, how many people are looking at that? How many people are commenting? How many people are sharing it on social media? And often, it's not as many as we want. And we wonder why we're not getting as much traction as we'd like. Because, you know, there's so much time and effort and energy that people have. And then there are the more famous blogs that rise to the top, like ones by Seth Godin and I think Kawasaki has a blog, and you know, various famous marketers, and that often aren't
famous because of their blogging. They're famous before their blogging.
Yeah. So that helps. So if you're kind of an unknown, and you're just putting something out there, they're not necessarily finding you. Now, of course, if you have good titles on your blogs, good compelling headlines that are interesting that contain keywords, someone might go to Google and ask, you know, how do you do X? And your blog might come up. Mm-hmm. You know, if I put the titles in for my blogs, most of them come up on Google. So I think a lot of people do find me. Ultimately, then they go to my website, and some of them opt into my email newsletter. So I think those two things together are powerful. And, you know, it doesn't take me long to post it either in my email newsletter or the blog. It's cut and paste and a little bit of formatting for both, right?
Yeah.
So the focus is on, and the time that it takes is doing the writing itself.
Yeah. Now, it's kind of interesting because when you and I both started, the big thing was always about building the list, right?
Yes.
Capturing email addresses and building the list. And the real, this was, I remember, you know, this was before the squeeze page phenomena, remember? And people,
right.
You had to have compelling content in your newsletter to get people to actually subscribe to it. And that's something that you've been, you know, for as long as I can remember, you've been a master of that. But it's kind of interesting that, you know, you're mentioning it's like about building the list first and then blogging second, when a lot of people today are starting off and they're focusing on the blogging and then kind of forgetting the list part, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a mistake, in all honesty. You know, one of my favorite blog platforms is socialmediamarketing.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they have a wonderfully designed website with a really good theme and good graphics and incredible articles, mostly written by guest bloggers, not the owner. And they edit those things really well, and there's always graphics in them, and it really became a place to go if you're interested in social media. But he also wrote an article at one point that said the biggest impact that you get from people reading your stuff is through an e-zine. So he really emphasizes people signing up for his e-zine. And he has a big list. But so, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? He wrote the blog. I don't know exactly when he started the e-zine or if they were in parallel. But a lot of people now just go to the blog and they look around for stuff they want and read the latest ones and get some good ideas. But then a lot of people are subscribed. Every, you know, week or maybe more often, I get an email in my inbox from that, and then I look at it, and sometimes I go back to socialmediamarketing.com. So there's, you know, despite the fact that people are saying that email is dead and no one is opting in and it's all communication through social media, that really hasn't proven out. You know, the guy that should know more than anybody else is the guy that runs social media marketing. And he said unequivocally, you know, if you want to get people to your events and stuff, if you just post it on the website, you're not going to get as much results because, you know, if they're not on the RRS feed and they're not getting anything by email, it's out of sight, out of mind, they're not thinking about it. You can promote something on the web as much as you want, but if they don't stumble upon it some way, they're not going to sign up. So email is a key component of his marketing, and it's always been my key component. But, you know, I always like to blog, and I always like to get comments. I mean, that's where, one way I get comments, and, you know, I want to be loved and appreciated like everybody else, and, you know, it's out there in the world. And
I'm making a difference. My stuff is great. I'm a smart person.
Yeah. All of that is nice, but you have to ask, well, what is driving revenue?
Yeah.
And another one of my favorite blog sites is CopyBlogger.
Yes.
And they have such awesome design. You know, they develop WordPress templates, as probably people know. And they entice you very heavily to sign up for their newsletter and also to get access to all their free articles. So when you go to CopyBlogger, if you want to see almost anything other than here's our services, you have to log in with your email and your password. And then you have access to 14 or 15 substantial articles on writing and blogging and developing your platform and all this kind of stuff. It's great material. So the whole emphasis is around content marketing. It's about great content. But if you're not sending an email, people are not going to get to that content in many cases. So I think they're both important.
Okay, that's
interesting. Of course, it starts with good writing.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a while, because one of the things, you know, when I'm talking to people who, especially when they're, you know, they've either had a blog for a while or they're just starting out, they struggle with content. So do you have any strategies that you, like, one of the things that often comes to mind, like, do you write for the newsletter or do you write for the content for the search? Like, what is the, do you have some kind of sort of key strategies or different kinds of content you use in different areas?
Well, I just write articles that I think will help people with their marketing. It just comes down to that. And that's a wide variety of things. I talk a lot about these days about people's marketing mindset and how they get stuck and how to break through their limiting beliefs, because that's a big part that stops people from marketing or writing or doing anything. But I'm also sharing a lot of tips, strategies, techniques, ideas, lists of things that work in various areas of marketing. I'm always trying to give useful stuff that people are looking for.
Yeah.
And so the first thing you need to do in your marketing is you have to have the ear, your ear to the ground, so to speak, and have a sense of what people are responding to. What are people talking about? Do a survey and find out what the biggest problems that your subscribers or your visitors are having. Also, if you're in business and writing a blog, you probably have clients. You're someone that has a business. Think of all the problems that you've helped all your clients with. All of those can be blogs. Oh, that was a client that had a real big problem with X, and I helped them solve it. So write an article and insert yourself into the article about how you helped them. So some really good blog articles are very personal. They're about working with clients. It's about the things that you've gone through and struggled with and figured out yourself, perhaps. It's really practical, hands-on things that people can use, news you can use. And I think you're familiar with Tad Hargrave. He's recently on the social media platform or the group, Facebook group we're on,
yeah.
Wisdompreneurs.
Yeah.
And he posted just a fabulous article called Polarize.
Yes.
And I said, this Actually, is...
And you
this
posted
is,
it on your blog, the Action Plan Marketing.
I loved it so much.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. And by the way, that's another thing you can do in your blog. You can mix it up once in a while and find someone who's already written a great article, then include the first part of it in the blog and your e-zine, and then link to the complete article somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that more often. You know, I think it's a good idea to show outside people. I used to have guest bloggers. I don't do that anymore. It just felt a little too self-serving. They write an article just for my blog. I want to see good stuff that's really out there already.
Yeah.
And, you know, on LinkedIn, this whole new section they have
the
where
pulse.
You can write articles. Some
yeah.
of those are fantastic articles and worth sharing.
Yeah.
And that makes people think, hey, you're a smart guy. You're connected with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's better not to always have your own point of view. Other people's
yeah.
point of view, as long as you're in alignment with it, or you want to say, hey, this is the dumbest idea I ever heard, and here's why I think it sucks, read the article.
Yeah, so you
I
want to
polarize. So many things you can do.
You want to polarize stuff, don't you?
Yeah, so the idea of polarize is you have three different possible audiences. People that love you and love your stuff and need your stuff. On the other end is people will never buy from you no matter what. You know, if you have the formula for turning straw into gold, they ain't interested,
yeah.
you know. And then you have the people in the middle. And a lot of people sort of blog and they sort of stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
And they write sort of safe, nice stuff. And they want to sort of please everybody. And the point that Tad made, I think, was one of the most powerful marketing ideas I've ever read, is you want to take your stand for your principles, for your ideas, for your philosophy, for your mindset, for whatever, that you really, you know, you can take a stand for and that you believe in and feel strongly about. And it's better to polarize. So the people that really like you, they like you even more. And the people that are in the middle, it pushes them over the edge one way or the other.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
they're more interested. That's really a breakthrough idea. That's really controversial. I want to know more about this guy. This guy's got some guts. And or they go, hey, this is the farthest out, nuttiest stuff in the world. I'm going to unsubscribe.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a lot of people just on your list doesn't hurt, of course, but you want them to break one way or the other. So ultimately, they sign up for your classes, or your consulting, or your coaching, or
whatever it
your
is.
Products, or whatever it is,
yeah.
it
yeah.
is you have.
Yeah, as far as marketing, it's like if 50% of the people love you and 50% of the people hate you, that's fine because 100% of the people are talking about you.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, so.
So, you know, I read Sam Harris's blog.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Harris is the best-known atheist in America. And the guy is a genius as
yeah.
well. He happens to be a macrobiologist, I don't know what the
yeah.
heck it is, neuro blah, blah, blah. He has a PhD.
He's a smart guy.
So smart that I can't even understand the word. And he just wrote a book called Wake Up, which is all about spiritual experiences and non-duality and stuff. And he says, this is no contradiction with religion. Religion are beliefs that we take on without any evidence and just believe them blindly. You can have spiritual experiences that are real experiences. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty controversial, right?
Yeah.
And I've been following him and I've read his book. I'm the very first person that gave feedback on Amazon. I'm the number one person, but he's gotten over 300 people commenting on that book. Either, and it's very polarized. You know, Sam Harris is a nut. He's the most brilliant person on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And he doesn't waffle on his stance. He thinks some religions are the worst things on planet Earth.
Yeah.
You know, I won't get into religion here, but
yeah.
You know, he makes people think. And his blog is very, very popular. And he also sends out an e-zine, of course, with the blog in it.
Now here's something interesting. Like I get to talk to a lot of other marketers, and one of the things that came up in an earlier discussion with another marketer was the difference between marketing yourself and marketing your business. And it's obvious in just the short time that we've been talking that for most instances you're referring to marketing yourself as kind of the product, right? As opposed to your business.
Well, yeah. And, you know, there's different kinds of marketing. And one sort of category of marketing that I think that works for most professional small business owners is you're really marketing, you're educating people.
Mm-hmm.
You're not overly promoting yourself, you're helping people. You're giving them useful ideas. You're sharing valuable insights. You're telling case stories. You're giving people tips and strategies. So this is not, blogging is not selling. Because you can ultimately, from an e-zine or a blog, people will be interested and they'll find a sales letter on your site, or because you're on their list, you're promoting to these people. And you say, you know, I'm doing a new program. It's a breakthrough program on X. Click here to learn about it, and they go to a sales letter. And the kind of copy in a sales letter is very different than the kind of copy in a blog. People don't want sales pitches in blogs. They want to be educated. They want some good ideas. And if it's really good, people will sign up for it, you know, and then you get to be in their mailbox for a long time. You know, I got somebody in one of my programs a couple of years ago. I don't do polls on all this, but she said, Robert, I was on your list 8 years before I signed up for your program. But I love all your stuff. I read it every week. But
yeah.
She never bought anything. She never even bought a book, a manual, a tape, nothing. And then she springs for a $10,000 program.
Yeah. Isn't that what a lot of people are afraid of that you talk to about giving away good content?
Well, that is...
I'm not saying that's the norm for most people.
A lot
in most
of people
market.
Are afraid of that.
Yeah. But,
and it's understandable, but I think that's a false fear. Look, I've created a new website recently. It's called theunstuckprocess.com. And I've written an e-book called The Unstuck Process. It's all about a technique that will help you get unstuck from limiting fearful beliefs that are stopping you from moving forward, you know, especially in your marketing and your business.
Yeah.
And so I give away a lot of stuff. I give away a PDF workbook, a Kindle workbook, an audio ebook.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing. You can listen to it and download it as an MP3. I'm giving away the whole technique. I'm giving away everything. Well, why the hell would I do that? Well, because that gets people to go, oh, this is pretty hot stuff. And a certain small percentage will say, you know, he's given so much, but I want more. I could use help with this. Could you help me learn this so I could do it with my clients?
Yeah.
So I'm going to put on some classes for that in individual sessions. So, I sold a manual back in 2000 called the Info Guru Marketing Manual. It was a very successful online product.
Yeah, that was like for internet marketers and information marketers. That book was like one of the bellwether books for anyone who was marketing online.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and it wasn't really about marketing online. It was just
marketing
as an independent professional.
Yeah.
And there was stuff about how to put together a good website, et cetera, and a few things about that. But it was included networking and speaking and everything else. Well, here's the interesting thing. So, you know, I sold that at a reasonable price. To start with, it was $39, and then more if you wanted a hard copy, and et cetera. But then soon after that, a year or two after that, I started to do these marketing action groups, and people signed up for them in droves. And virtually everybody that signed up for a marketing action group already had the manual. I mean, all the answers are in the manual.
Yeah, they didn't have to.
Why don't you just read the damn manual?
Read the manual, yeah.
Because, well, I'm stuck, and it's like I still need support. And this guy has obviously written the Bible for independent professionals on how to market yourself. I guess a teleclass and program would be a good thing.
Yeah, there's something else there.
It will get me into action.
Yeah.
So people, you can give away a lot of stuff. A guy who's also, you know, one of the brilliant marketers, his name is Eben Pagan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard about
Eben. Yes,
Egan,
yeah.
But he, if you go to YouTube, look up Eben Pagan and watch some of his videos. They are fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot of great content
there. One video is enough
there
to give you a lot of thoughts for a long time.
Yeah.
But one of his concepts is how to move the free line. In other words, don't give away just one measly report. Give away a lot, really, you know.
Overwhelm them with great content.
Overwhelm them with great content, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people, a small percentage, will really absorb that, and they'll be your best buyers. Some people will download it and never read it.
Yeah.
Some people will read a little bit of it and come in slower. So you never really know, but giving a lot of information. So he leveraged that amazingly. By giving away all this great free content to people, and then people would opt into his list, and he ended up getting thousands of people in list, and then he followed up with an offer, which was a $10,000 3-day workshop that he got 400 people into it. Do the math. I think it's $4 million bucks.
That's a vacation somewhere for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, he's a multi-million dollar guy doing this because he gave away a lot of free stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, if you listen or watched all those YouTube videos, you would get a whole high-level course in marketing. But then he always pushes the free line further.
Yeah.
You know, he's done affiliate things that he gives away all his programs if people buy this other person's program, and he gets a huge affiliate fee from it. I mean, it's crazy stuff. But it all starts with writing interesting stuff, being controversial, polarizing people, you know, being out there. Being a strong advocate for something and then giving away enough free stuff that people want to opt in and be on your list and read your stuff forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people have passed on my easy, and a lot of people have signed up and looked at my blog. And I'm never worried about filling programs anymore. I just do a promotion, and I give some free content at the beginning and do a teleclass, and I never push hard. I never hype. And I say there's only a limited number, and it's coming up on this date, and read the information here, and in fact, you even have to apply for my programs in order to be in them.
Okay.
And I fill them every time.
Now, moving on to kind of like you've got this market of people who are hungry to hear your information. They're looking for more information. You're creating content still on a regular basis for these people in terms of your e-zine and stuff that you're adding to your blog. You're giving the information to people. What has been your experience with how these people who are learning stuff actually implement what you're talking about? Do you find that they get hesitant because of the reasons we've been talking about? Or is there kind of something that holds them back? Or what's the things that, you know, you kind of see people struggle with still?
Well, let's be really straight about it. People are scared to death about being rejected. People are scared about failing. People are scared about making a fool of themselves. People are afraid of taking risks, right?
Yeah.
And so people can read a book and love it and everything, but usually they come up against a fear. So I think that's why it's the most important work I do, is helping people get past fears.
Yeah. Is that what the Unstuck process is going to be about?
Yeah, that's what that's all about.
Yeah.
It's about looking at your behavior. You know, what are you doing, and what is it that you're avoiding? Well, I'm avoiding, I did an interview with someone just the other day. I'm avoiding writing my e-zine. How come? Well, people won't really think it's any good, and they won't read it. Okay, so that stops you cold. So a lot of writers, you know, some of the best writers in the world. Could have been Shakespeare. Well, maybe not. Never wrote anything because of fear of being judged.
Yeah.
You know, it's even a miracle that Shakespeare published, you know. Most people, well, people that really think about it realize that Shakespeare was a nom de plume for somebody completely different, who was a nobleman in Queen Elizabeth's court.
Yeah.
And he couldn't publish under his own name because then that was a very lowly thing to be a writer. I mean, noblemen did not write.
Yes.
So, you know, he wrote all these amazing things with his incredible education, well-traveled and well-versed and all this stuff. Shakespeare was virtually illiterate.
Yeah.
He wasn't even a writer.
Hidden behind a name.
But it's a great name, and,
yeah,
you know, what the heck. It's one of, you know, there's a great movie about that called Anonymous. I know we're sort of off track,
yeah,
here, but
that's okay.
It's a very, very interesting movie.
Yeah.
So people are afraid to put themselves out there.
Yeah.
And so some people do stuff, and some people do a little, and some people do a lot. And, but, you know, if you're, you know, it's a little scary to be controversial. It's a little scary to polarize people. It's much easier to just be nice and write safe articles.
Yeah.
You know, go out on a limb.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one last story, or maybe not. Once I wrote an e-zine and I sent it to people, and the subject line was, "Your marketing materials suck." Now, that's a little edgy, right?
Yes, definitely.
So a few people said, you know, "That was very rude. Unsubscribe me. Now,
yeah,
how could you do that? That's just, what if my kids saw this?" Seriously.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I didn't want to upset people. I wanted to wake them up a bit. So I wrote an email back and said, you know, "I apologize. You know, I didn't mean to offend everybody by using that word. So mea culpa. I'll be more careful." And then the miracle happened. 500 people sent me an email telling me to go tell those people to jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
They said, "Keep saying it like it is, Robert. Yes, tell us that our marketing sucks."
Because it does.
Because it does, and because of this, it really has helped me relook at my marketing and take action. I mean, you really are somebody that is telling it like it is out there. And, you know, the truth is, I think I've softened a little bit over the years.
Does it happen with age?
I should probably, you know, bring out the fire and brimstone a little bit more often. I mean, you know, there's a little fear in me. It's like, oh, I don't want to really offend people. But that article was memorable.
Yeah. You've got your existing clientele, and it's kind of, you've got a group of people. You don't want to necessarily offend them because you've already got them. So
Well, you know, they probably appreciate my stuff the best.
Yeah.
You know, I love it, Robert, when you really just tell it like it is. I mean, nobody else does that. Everybody talks about all these generalities. You get into the nitty-gritty of how to do this stuff, and you tell the truth about these fears that we're experiencing. We love that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people say, you know, "I'm not interested anymore. Unsubscribe me."
And that's fine.
Well, they would never buy anything anyway, so no problem.
Yeah, it's hard to be a lightning rod. Because you know you're going to get hit.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But better to be a lightning rod than a piece of sod on the ground.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
underfoot here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not disturbing anybody.
Yeah.
Walk all over me. I hope you like me.
Yeah. And then I'll just wait for a long time. Yeah, one of the things that I was always really impressed with you was your ability to, you know, you said, "Here, I have another story." But I remember, if I'm not mistaken, you have that, you did the marketing ball, if I'm not mistaken, the baseball analogy.
Yeah, I invented this thing called marketing ball after I'd written the InfoGuru manual.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, people need to know about, is that ability to make what can be complex into simple things with a story that allow people to relate to it is a really powerful skill. And that was one of the things that always impressed me with the content that you always produce, that you were able to do that.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think that's good stuff to write. I think it's a little more complicated than just finding problems and how you solve them. But it's about coming up with models and, you know, concepts and how they fit together and analogies and metaphors and stuff like that. I think that helps people learn. So I created this model called Marketing Ball. If you imagine marketing as a baseball diamond, you start at home plate with a marketing message trying to communicate to somebody. And as you move along the bases, the first thing is to get to first base. And that's when you deliver your message and someone goes, oh, that's interesting, tell me more. Then you're on first. Mm-hmm. And then you have a long road to get to second. Second base is where people are say, you know, I've got a lot of information. I feel comfortable with you. You've given me a good taste of what you do. You know, now I'm interested in one of your programs. Let's talk, or they take action with a promotion that you do. So, you know, marketing is not over once you get their attention. Marketing just starts when you get their attention, because the fact that you have their attention doesn't mean they're ready to buy, but they're ready to listen. So anytime somebody opts into your website, that's an opportunity to give them more good stuff and get them interested and get them riled up and get them thinking and et cetera, et cetera. And some people do that really well.
Yeah.
Some people do it really well. And most people do it really poorly.
Very
this stuff
poor.
Is flat. It's boring. It doesn't take them along the path in any kind of way. It doesn't ask for anything. I'm just blogging and here's my services.
Yeah.
You know, we wonder why our business isn't growing.
Yeah, the other one I see is people always get to the plate for the first time, and then they're only looking for home runs. They don't even want to do the bases. It's just like swinging for the fences by throwing stuff up and hoping they're going to
get a
home
run. Yeah, and
then
you get into hype-ville.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You know, do this amazing, absolutely wonderful, astounding program that will triple your income overnight. Well, nobody
believes that. Without work and without any investment.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where marketing breaks down, and trust about marketing breaks down. I mean, really good marketing is informing people and educating people. And, you know, it's not totally the equivalent of the advertising that we see on TV. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of thing. We're selling cans of Coke and iPhones. I mean, it's a whole different kind of conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, some companies like Apple and Coke have done a damn good job, you
exactly.
gotta say, you know? I mean, Coke is sugar water.
At best.
It has no nutritional value except some calories.
No.
And yet, people spend billions on it every year. And I must admit, I'm a fan of Diet Coke. What can I say?
Are you really?
Work.
Okay. It was probably...
I don't buy it and bring it home anymore, but sometimes I buy it when I'm out there.
Have a Diet Coke. Have you found one with your name on it yet?
No.
Don't they
they have these names at the top.
That's right. They have names on them.
What's
now,
the so. Whole idea there, that you search for your name? And
I
then
guess
you,
so. I guess
what do you
so.
Do? Put it in a glass bubble or something and look at it for the rest
for your
of your
name.
Life?
Yeah, and they were trying to have the most common names or the ones that haven't been published yet. So.
Right, and then you could have a collection of names of all your friends.
Of all the Cokes you've had.
It's silly, but it must work.
Yeah, we're talking
about
it.
Yeah, it's pretty insane stuff. But, you know, we've got... We're professionals. We're attracting people with professional services and really helping them. I mean, we're alternate healthcare practitioners. We're high-end executive coaches. We're management consultants. We're smart people. And so we don't want to insult people's intelligence. We want to show them great insight and good ideas.
Yeah.
You know, I would look at the new article section in LinkedIn. And the great thing about those articles are the popular ones really rise to the top.
Yes.
And so that's interesting. So you can look at some of those articles. You know, if I click on, I've written one, I'm going to be writing more for that. And you can see they rise to the top. So here's the top article right now, an article by Dr. Travis Bradbury. Isn't that a great name? And it's called, sounds so official and smart. The real harm in multitasking. So you look at that article. 353,131 people have looked at that article. 2,537 have commented on it. No, they've liked it. Sorry.
Liked it.
And 767 have commented on it.
Yeah.
Do you think Dr. Travis Bradbury is getting some business from this?
Yes, I would hope so.
Probably.
Yeah.
So is it a long article? No, it's an opening and a special skill, and multitasking lowers IQ. That's pretty controversial. Brain damage from multitasking. It's like, this isn't sort of a, oh, it's not too good for you, don't do it. It's like, hey, it's dire.
Yeah.
And then learning from multitasking, and that's the end of the article. So it's not too long, it's easy to absorb, and it's controversial, and it makes you think, and that's what people pass along. So kind of impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the just to kind of wrap things up, because we're actually a little bit longer than I said we would be. Thank you for taking the time. And, you know, if there was kind of three things that you could are ideas to people who are trying to build their business, their practice, their service, or an independent professional, and they are using a blogging platform like WordPress in their blogging,
yeah.
What would kind of be three things that you would give them as sort of things to check off as they start every day to start marketing themselves and what they're doing?
With their blogging, through their blogging?
Yeah, well, and I'm not going to, obviously there's lots of other things to be doing, but I'm talking about creating the content and stuff that goes into the blog, that's into the
right.
newsletter. What would be three kind of key things that you would suggest?
Oh, God, there's probably more than that, but I'll, just off the top of my head.
The three top ones for you.
Yeah, well, find something that you're passionate and excited about.
Yeah.
You notice I sometimes get passionate and excited? I mean,
yes.
I mean, you can't bore people into doing business with you, the famous David Ogilvy, the famous ad copywriter said.
Yeah.
And so don't be boring. Get excited. If you're excited and tell a story or whatever, you know, your clients are likely to get excited. Another one is write more than you think. There's a great article, I can't remember where I found it, that shows what's the right length of everything to write online, and really more words, something that takes up to 7 minutes to read is not bad because it involves people a bit more. It's like they have to get in it more deeply and think about it more.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an absolute rule of thumb, but write a little more, write with a little more depth so it's just not surface, that you have a lot of bullet points, etc. And I guess the last one we talked about is really make it easy for people to opt in and get your blog by offering a free report or giveaway, as we talked about, that's really valuable. And it's like, wow, I wouldn't want to pass up on that. I just opted into something recently, and it was a 250 friggin' page ebook on marketing.
Yeah.
And so I sent the PDF to my printer and said, please print this for me and send it back. And I just got it in the mail today. I mean, that's commitment,
that,
right?
Yeah. That's
not only that, I signed up for this person's $2,000 program.
There
so
you go.
I was kind of impressed by the level of her content.
Yeah.
It was really impressive.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned the content length because one of the things, there was kind of like this a given standard for blog copies, you know, your 700 words kind of thing, and it's not too long, not too short. One of the things that that you do all the time in your newsletter is you give the reading time, if I'm not mistaken, at the start of your newsletter.
Yeah, I say how many words
is it?
You know, it's 250 words a minute on average, so I'll say this will take 3.5 minutes or 5 minutes.
Yeah, which was interesting. But the other thing is that I've been hearing from a lot of the other bloggers that in terms of search engines and what Google's looking for now in content, is exactly that, much longer articles.
Yeah.
With more meaty content, not the kind of, you know, intro, 5 bullet points, exit kind of thing, and then affiliate ads. So I think you're right.
And affiliate ads,
yeah,
exactly.
I think you're right that, you know, there is going to be additional benefits to actually taking the time to get people to think and to write some of that content with some value in it, with some length and meat to it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's great.
And,
so, yeah.
Make it meaty.
Yeah, make it meaty. I like that one, the Ogilvy, the quote is a good one. I like that one. You can't get people to do business by boring them to death. They're not going to do business with you by boring them to death. So, okay. So if someone's listening and they go, man, this Robert Middleton, I really like what he was talking about today, where should they go to find out more about you?
Well, now they should go to two places. They should go to actionplan.com.
Yes.
Which has, you know, you can look at all my blogs that are there for free without opting in and, you know, other information about me and my services. But, of course, opt in, you get the marketing starter kit. And then the other one is the Unstuck program. Excuse me, theunstuckprocess.com. Now that's launching next Thursday, so I'm not sure when you're posting this, but I'll be all everything will be perfect and ready to go by next Thursday.
I'll make sure to put a link with the audio file as well, so people can find it. So.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, Robert. I really enjoyed it, and thank you very much.
Yeah, it was a fun interview. Thank you very much yourself.